Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fireside Chat number
214.
Wow. 214. So funny because it seems like yesterday was 200 mm-hmm. and we were celebrating that fact. 214. I'm Dennis. I was going to say I'm Otto. That's what came through my brain. That's Otto. I'm Dennis. Dennis Prager. Pleasure to be with you. And for those who are new to Fireside Chats, the purpose is to just freely speak what's on my mind and in my heart. There's no prepared comments. There's no teleprompter to read from. It's just you and I. And it is also a chance for you to ask me whatever you would like. So I take questions as well. And Megan, the arm, the owner of the arm, told me that when she came in, Otto walked in. I find that so amazing that he is completely attuned to what is happening, except right now, as you can probably hear. Before I open up with any remarks, I do want to tell you about a group that we are affiliated with, Dallas Baptist University, where I had a chance to speak a couple of months ago and had a fantastic time. These are wonderful people. It's a comprehensive, Christ-centered, nationally ranked university with a mission to produce the next generation of servant leaders. By the way, if you find it interesting that a religious Jew would offer an ad for Dallas Baptist University, which is Christ-centered, it is not odd. I believe that there are Judeo-Christian values. They are the greatest values ever created. They are basically Christians who have been rooted in Jewish scripture and combined it with their own values and theology to make some of the best countries that have ever been made. So I am very happy to endorse this college, this university. DBU graduates are men and women of a deep faith who strive to reflect the values of genuine patriotism. They can be found leading in the classrooms, courtrooms, boardrooms, and beyond, all throughout our country and around the world. To learn more about the value of a DBU education and how you or your student may be eligible to receive a $1,000 scholarship, visit prageru.com/DBU. Okay, wonderful. That's the arm. So it's Thanksgiving time in America. We have viewers all over the world, so I add in America. It's an interesting question to which I don't know the answer. How many countries have a day to give thanks? I know that the U.S. is not the only one, but I don't know how many do, and I've always considered it a remarkable thing that that is something that America created for itself, a day of Thanksgiving. It harkens back to the pilgrims in the founding of the country, or before the founding of the country, but it was really established by Abraham Lincoln, who embodies greatness and pain. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I do want to say a word about giving thanks. The greatest of the traits is gratitude. Gratitude is the foundation of both goodness and happiness. You cannot be a good person if you are not grateful, and you cannot be a happy person if you're not grateful. Or to put it in the negative, there is no ungrateful person who is happy, and there is no ungrateful person who is good. My deep worry about America at this time is that young people are being taught to be ungrateful, to be that very ugly thing called ingrates. An ingrate is an ungrateful human being. I mean, think about it. The American educational system is geared to telling you how bad your life is and how awful your future is. Right? Existential threat of global warming and climate change, you'll die. Everything works in that direction. If you're Black, how could you be grateful? If you're Hispanic, how could you be grateful? If you're gay, how could you be grateful? If you're a woman, how could you be grateful? Theoretically, only white, cisgender, heterosexual, Christian males have anything to be grateful for. That really is what is taught at our schools, not just colleges anymore, even elementary schools and high schools. So what we're doing is we are breeding deep, deep ingratitude in people. And it is making them profoundly unhappy, bitter, and mean. You sort of get a degree, I think. You go to college, I think you get a BA in ingratitude. Grateful to be an American? And by the way, those of you listening in other countries, a lot of this would apply to you as well. I'm speaking in American terms because I'm American, but these are not unique issues in the United States. If you're ungrateful and you're listening in Brazil, the same applies. You're not going to be happy and you're not going to be good. And with all the problems Brazil has, you're still pretty lucky to be Brazilian. And I only pick Brazil because it's a gigantic country, an important country, a lot of listeners there. Are there places where you can't be grateful? Yeah, North Korea. That's correct. Any place that is a combination of abject poverty and suppression of all liberty, it's tough to be grateful for living there. I couldn't agree more. If I gave a speech in North Korea, which of course is inconceivable, but if I did, I could not tell them, hey, why don't you all wake up tomorrow and be grateful? For what? Now, theoretically, a North Korean can be grateful if they're healthy and if they have enough food to eat, that's true. But I think my point is clear. There are places that it is much harder, I would acknowledge, to walk around grateful. But this is one country where you can. Not the only country, but one in which you can and should. It is amazing to me, people who have so much in their lives and walk around complaining. Any of you have complainers in your family? You know, chronic complainers? There's always something wrong. Are they happy? No. Do they make you unhappy? Yes. Is there any redeeming feature to that person? Maybe, but it has nothing to do with the fact that they complain all the time. That is an awful feature. To be grateful? You know, I meet people who have had very difficult lives and walk around grateful. And people who have had much less difficult lives and are ungrateful. We choose to be grateful the way we choose to be happy. That's what you need to do. You have to wake up and say, I am grateful. Make a list even. Parents, you should train your children to be grateful. I know parents who will have periodic discussions and say, okay, what are you grateful for? Certainly you should do that at the Thanksgiving table if you're having Thanksgiving. We'll talk later about bringing politics into Thanksgiving because I saw some of the questions that have been sent in. I will address that. But it is the greatest trait. It's a remarkable thing. Goodness and happiness are dependent upon gratitude. We speak about white privilege. The biggest privilege in the United States is to be an American. I don't say it because I'm American. I say it because it's true. As I've often pointed out, 3 million Blacks have moved to this country, 2 million from Africa, 1 million from the Caribbean in the last few decades. I'll bet the vast majority of them are very grateful to be American. They came here voluntarily. They wanted to be here. It is also amazing when the children of people who have come here from dictatorships are not grateful. Like the one of the founders of Google. I wrote a piece, sort of open letter to Sergey Brin. How could you be the child of refugees from the Soviet Union and then suppress free speech in America? How can you do that? It boggles my mind. I literally don't understand it. I not only differ with it, I don't understand it. There is so much ease of life in this country, and to have so many people walk around ungrateful to be here, it shows you can be brainwashed into believing anything. If you're not grateful to be living in the United States of America, which was until recently the freest country in history, and certainly the most affluent, and that's true for almost everybody. I remember when I studied in England, I visited a middle-class home, and I remember thinking, this is the middle class in England? This would be considered lower class, I'm talking economically, in the United States. Here's a great story for you on that. When I was 21 years old, the United Nations celebrated its 25th anniversary. And they decided to do it with a World Youth Assembly. They did that once in the history of the UN. They had five delegates from each country and a delegate from their non-governmental organizations. So I was a delegate to the World Youth Assembly. I was 21 years old. And this is a great story. This is just incredible. So some of the delegates from communist countries said, we want to take, I'm using a Russian accent, we want to take a tour of where black people live, Harlem, or Garlem, as they would say in Russian. We want to go to Garlem and see the terrible conditions of black Americans. So they hired buses and they took delegates to Harlem. This was the communist delegates' reactions. They lied to us. They took us to a rich place where black people live. That's right. They thought it was all a fraud. They were taken all around Harlem. They couldn't believe how many people owned cars, how nice so many of the apartments and homes were compared to what they were used to back home in the Soviet Union or Bulgaria or Romania. Okay, so a little gratitude, a lot of gratitude is called for. Happy Thanksgiving and give thanks. That's the point. Okie doke, question time.
We're going to start with...
Oh, yes.
A this or that Thanksgiving.
But this is completely spontaneous. I'm not nervous, but
no.
Who knows what you'll throw at me? Some pop culture stuff that I have. No, that's
it's
fine.
Thanksgiving food edition.
Are people seeing you, by the way?
No.
Oh, bummer.
Just the arm.
Just the arm. All right, this or that?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving food edition.
Okay.
Turkey with cranberry or turkey with gravy?
Cranberry. Turkey without cranberry is like, I was going to say a man without a woman. But of course, that is so politically incorrect today. But I'll say it anyway. Go ahead.
Bread rolls or cornbread?
Cornbread. Who would opt between the two for regular bread versus cornbread?
Maybe like a homemade.
Oh, well, you didn't say homemade.
That's true. I don't know.
Okay.
Sweet potatoes with marshmallows or mashed potatoes with gravy?
Mashed potatoes with gravy only because I can't stand marshmallows. But I if you was just sweet potato versus mashed potato, I'd take sweet potato.
Is it called stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing.
People call it dressing.
They're wrong.
Other states.
That's just wrong. You call it, you're in your house?
Yeah.
Nate the Great's family called it dressing? But it's stuffed into the turkey. Dressing is what you put on salad.
So stuffing or green bean casserole?
Stuffing or green bean casserole. I'm not a stuffing fan. Yep.
Pumpkin pie or pecan pie?
Pumpkin pie is served in heaven upon arrival. If God really likes you, you get pumpkin pie.
Watching football or shopping for deals?
Oh, my God. Sports has been killed because of the politicization. I would have said football, but they lost me and a lot of other Americans, a lot of the sports.
So do you have any Thanksgiving traditions to end on?
Thanksgiving tradition to end on, yes. We always open up with why we're thankful. It's a very beautiful way to open up your dinner. And if you, whether you believe in God or not, by the way, this is truly the most universal American holiday. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to be Christian. You don't have to be any religion. You just have to be a human being. If you can't celebrate Thanksgiving, there is something wrong with you. That I am prepared to say. Okie doke. Question, the video question.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Lindsay Baliff. I am 23 years old, and I'm in Panama City Beach, Florida. And I was wondering, how do we repair those family relationships if we get into a political discussion and cause issues at Thanksgiving? And how we can repair those with not just facts, but understanding the other person's feelings, and how can we approach that better, if that makes sense. Thank you so much.
That is such a difficult question. This is a very a problematic issue now in America. It never was. In the past, if your parents were Republican and you were a Democrat, people laughed about it. Oh, mom and dad in their politics, or my kids in their politics. But then something happened. Basically, at the time of the election of Donald Trump, where it was no longer, I don't agree with you because of how you voted, but you are rotten. You are a bad person because of how you voted. This is a first in American history. This never happened before. The contempt, hatred, dismissal of the humanity of people who voted, half the country, or more than half, in fact. You're all slime. That was the message given. People went ballistic. They went crazy. You know, there was a term used called Trump derangement syndrome. I never used it. In all 4 years of the Trump presidency, I never used the term once on the radio, or for that matter, in a speech. But now I believe it describes something accurately. People became deranged because of that man. And my proof is that there are probably at least a million Americans who will not allow their Trump voting parents to see their grandchildren. I get calls from people regularly when this issue is raised on my radio show. I can't see my grandchildren because my daughter won't let me because I voted for Trump. And I can't imagine anybody doing it on the other side. I won't let my father or mother see my children, their grandchildren, because they voted for Biden. It's inconceivable. And by the way, if anybody ever did it, I would have contempt for them. Something happened. It was a sea change in American history. You're not merely wrong, you're evil for having voted that way. So it's very hard to know what to do with, at any of these family gatherings. My approach is don't raise political issues. If they're raised as calmly and gently as possible, say, you know, look, if we want to discuss this, that's great, but we have to continue loving each other because you only get one sibling or two siblings, or you only get one parent or two parents or whatever it is. So almost preface it with, you know, I don't want to lose you and I don't want you to lose me. So if you want to talk politics, fine, but let's understand that we love each other. I don't know, some introductory comments. My general approach has been, because much of my extended family, both my sons have my values, but most of the rest of my family don't. Or they may say they have my values, but they don't vote the way I do. It doesn't matter. I don't want to get into an imaginary argument. But we differ, and I don't think it's a bad thing to say. I had a wonderful, wonderful dinner with my brother and sister-in-law who live in the New York City area a few months ago. My wife and I went there. He voted for Joe Biden. She voted for Joe Biden. I didn't. So we just didn't talk about that. Is that the only thing you have to talk about? We filled hours with great talk. We just didn't touch on that. There's a lot more to life than politics. I would hope that's true for every family. Another thing, I don't think you should ever go into a family meal with the intent of changing their mind. That's not a good idea. You can go in explaining you if it's necessary, but don't go in with the intent of changing their mind. How can that be a pleasant meal? And that's one of the beauties of family. I have an interesting take on this. There is a law, it's stated a few times in the Bible, love the stranger. And I have an interesting take on it. Love the stranger applies to your family. Because the truth is, we choose our friends. We don't choose our family. So you will often have to relate to people you never relate to because they're in your family, right? You choose your friends. You don't choose your siblings, your parents, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews. The family teaches you to relate to the stranger. That's the irony of family life. Okay. Good one. Zach, 20 years old, Boulder, Colorado. Hello, Dennis and Otto. My name is Zach Latham. I have been watching your fireside chats for a while now. One of the things you emphasize the most is the importance of religion. I was not raised religious, but you have absolutely sparked my interest in learning more about religion. Where do I start? I am very overwhelmed by the many different versions and readings of the Bible. Thanks. Okay, start with the Rational Bible. My third volume is coming out next year, but it will take you a while to read the first two volumes, Genesis and Exodus. Deuteronomy is coming out. It's the fifth of the first five books next year. I would also note to all of you that I have, because of the problems from COVID, they could not get the paper for my third volume in time to come out when it was supposed to come out, which was last month. So it was delayed almost a year. And so I had a year extra to work, and I have produced something that is coming out shortly. And that is not the Rational Bible, but the Rational Passover Haggadah. This is the work used for 2,000 years at the Passover Seder. And Christians now frequently have a Passover Seder, but even if you don't, it deals with some very big theological questions It's like a lifetime of reading. That and the Rational Bible. That's where I would begin. Not because I wrote it, but because I wrote it specifically to enable people to understand the profundity of the religious idea. It's not there to convert you to any religion. That's your choice. It's there to convert you to a God-based ethical system. Austin, 38, in Warri Delta, Nigeria. I live in Nigeria. I am passionate about mindset change. I follow your programs closely and want to be able to replicate what you are doing here in my home country. I believe in what PragerU is doing. How can you help me achieve my goals? The way I can help you achieve your goals is by producing as many videos and other things as we do. That's the help. I wish we had an international section to work with people in every country where people want to set up something like PragerU. But in the meantime, I would suggest making videos like ours or simply using ours. There's no charge. We are thrilled for you to do so. And for you to, of course, translate it using subtitles, usually, into any of your local languages in Nigeria, whether it be English or French or any of the local languages spoken by any ethnic group in Nigeria. Then you could have the 5-minute video up. Then you might want to comment on it. This is what you got from it. This is what you think is relevant to life in Nigeria, or whatever you would want to do with it. But that is the best way we can help you. But I would love to know if you do something like this to let us know. What's our timing?
27.
Cool. Let's see. James, 52, Portland, Oregon. If you were to have a top 5 list of PragerU videos for my son and daughter to watch, what would they be? They are a senior and freshman at Gonzaga University, one in business school, the other in music. I would stay away from social issues. Thanks for your thoughts. You answered it. You answered it. Stay away from the social issues or political issues. Well, we don't have that much politics. I always recommend that for enabling people to see the wonderful, non-threatening side of PragerU, show them any of the videos on happiness or on forgiveness. There are so many on gratitude, on male-female relations. We have a lot of videos. We're not just a political system. We care about everything.
You can go to the playlist section on our website.
There's a playlist section on the website.
So they can read the playlist and they have life lessons.
Oh, good. So they have life lessons and so on under playlist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you choose. Okay, let's see. Where is the one? Oh, yeah. All right. Dan, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Hi, Dennis. I just watched Fireside Chat number 212. When you remember, would you please share what 2 other countries are on your top 5 list for being the most friendly? Thank you. So I saw this and I racked my brains out because I know I came up with 5. And I wrote them down to make sure I wouldn't forget. No order of importance. The Dutch, the Filipinos, Americans, Ethiopians, and Italians. So that's been my experience. This is not a definitive list. It is not meant to insult any group that's not on the list. I've been to 130 countries, but I still have about another 70 or 80 to go. And maybe one will qualify. But those have been my experiences. What's interesting, for example, with the Dutch, their language is Germanic. Usually Germans and Dutch can understand each other, if I'm not mistaken. And they not only that, but they border each other. And yet, with no intent to insult, Germans are not known as a particularly friendly, warm group of people. And yet the Dutch seem to be. It's very interesting how cultures develop even differently from their neighboring culture. So this has always been interesting. By the way, when I meet Filipinos in the United States and say, you know, I just want you to know, I tell everybody, I consider Filipinos among the friendliest people in the world. They always respond, we are. They don't go, oh, really? I'll bet you if I said to a German, you know, I want you to know, I give a lot of lectures and I often mention that Germans are among the friendliest people in the world. I think they'd go, what? I don't think German self-image is cuddly, warm, cuddly types. No intent to insult anybody. There are some terrific Germans in my life, but I'm speaking in the broad, and I'm sure and there are terrible Filipinos and there are terrible Americans and terrible Dutch. But as a general rule, these are the groups that I have found, including the Italians and Ethiopians. Now, of those countries, I've been to all of them a number of times, but not Ethiopia. All the Ethiopians I have met have been in the United States or outside of Ethiopia. So I just want to note that. But that has been my experience, and others feel the same. Got a great question from Brazil, which I'll take next time. In the meantime, have a blessed, happy Thanksgiving if you're celebrating it. And wherever you are in the world, I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.